I want to speak on vision that empowers. Can I just say this? Do you have a vision for your life? Yes. One person out of... Can I just ask that again? Because otherwise, I've got a real uphill task this morning. Oh, no. It wasn't that bad, was it? Okay. Do you have a vision for your life? Yes. If you don't, listen up. And if you do, listen up, because God wants to touch you and envision you this morning. Amen? And, we're going to have... I really believe vision is a vital part of your walk with Jesus. Jesus says, I only do what I hear the Father saying and what I see the Father doing. He understood, he saw, he moved in vision. And I want to just encourage you. I want to encourage you more than the guy at the night of prayer who declared he was having a vision, and then his vision turned into a dream. Work that out. He fell asleep, in other words. And it's like someone went to a dream seminar and said, are we just going to fall asleep the whole time? And no, they're not. Okay. Recently, I really felt God speak to me about new beginnings. And it's interesting, Ash got restoration, someone else today, I've forgotten who it was, talked about new beginnings, someone in the prayer room. And I was having my day off and I was just walking around Oxford, and it brought back so many memories of the 4 years I was there, not in the university. I don't want to make you think, you know, I'm one of those really intelligent people like Nigel, you know, who went to Oxford and then got honours degrees. But that time, which was a time of real personal revival, and I had so much vision. Amen? And it was like we had this group that met in the Jesus College bunker. And it was the Jesus bunker group. And we had God moving. All kinds of things were going on. People would be in the room and someone in front of them needed healing. And they could say, I can't do it on my own. And then supernaturally, someone would felt led to go to that person's room and be there and minister to that person. The Holy Spirit was moving. And many of those people are now leaders in the church world. Isn't that wonderful? God was moving. And we didn't have a theology perfect like now. No, don't forget about it. We were so maverick. But God was winning literally hundreds of students to Jesus. And it was a wonderful... And God started saying to me, I am rekindling vision in your life. Amen? And I remember walking through a cornfield back when I lived in High Wycombe. And God, there was a footpath through the middle of this cornfield. And I turned around and there was thousands of wheat waiting to be harvested. And the Holy Spirit said, if you will obey me, I will give you this and more if you will follow me. And by the way, I'm taking you to the nations. And I had no idea what God was going to do. I just was a local boy doing local boy things. And God took me over 30 nations. I preached the gospel. Hallelujah. Africa shall be saved. Oh, I enjoyed Africa, Middle East, Yemen, you know, all over Brazil. Hallelujah. Brazil. We have a Brazilian among us today. And wonderful things and wonderful places, and a privilege still every now and again. We'll be taking teams to the nations in the days to come. Amen. And so God started rekindling. And, you know, and God is doing things that we've been praying. We had no idea that this Kennet Christian Center would be a place where some of the neediest people in our town would come every Tuesday, every week. In fact, there were so many last week, we couldn't get them in the Tudor Hall, so we're going to have to come back into this hall. Isn't that wonderful? And the stories and the people that are going through so much difficulty at this time, we are making friends with them. We are pouring out our love on them. We are doing what we can do, which is so limited, but it's something. Amen? And so God is doing things already. But God keeps wanting to enlarge your vision, doesn't he? And God wants to do something in us, and I believe even this morning, in our hearts, to enlarge us. We need to be men of vision. Where there is no vision, people become unrestrained. But happy is he who keeps the law. The main reason the Israelites, the initial generation, apart from Joshua and Caleb, that came out of Egypt, died in the wilderness, their sins came into their life. There was immorality, there was idolatry, there was grumbling, moaning, complaining, etc., etc. But the overriding reason was this: they lost their vision of the promised land. And as a result of losing hope and losing vision, they became unrestrained. They began to go into forms of behavior that ultimately resulted in them missing the blessing that God had for them. And wherever I find backslidden Christians, the number one thing that I notice is they've lost the vision that God gave them. And it's as if they have lost hope of receiving what God had for them. And as a result, the pull of sin, they easily answer. When you have a vision, it transforms everything. They asked me once in the youth group back in Chiswick, how did you, as a young man, not get involved in drugs and sex and all those sort of things? And I said this: I had a vision, I had a call, and that call was so strong that I had to say no to all the other stuff. Amen? When you're caught up with the call of God, it's easy to go, I don't want to miss out on the grace of God that's on my life. You need to get hold of that vision. Now, I think I've shared it once before. I'm going to get in trouble here. But you won't tell Caroline, will you? She has her spies everywhere. You know, after the service, people sneak me cakes and things. It's Caroline's over there. It's okay. There's this story of this this pastor, and his wife is at home, and she's really tired, and she's lying on the sofa. And he comes back from all his appointments or whatever. And she says to him, oh, honey, I'm so tired. Would you mind just fixing up a sandwich for yourself? I can't cook the meal tonight. Is that okay? And being a nice, obliging person unlike me, he goes, oh, yeah, of course. I'll just make myself a sandwich. Anyway, 5 minutes later, the phone goes. She picks up the phone. It's her friend, Sue. Sue says, do you know, for tonight only, there's a sale going on in your favorite shop. The dress that you've been wanting, it's only 25% of the original price, and it's only tonight. And God, she starts, the anointing comes on her. She is empowered. She has vision. She runs out the house, gets in the car, and speeds down to the high street and gets that dress. Hallelujah. Why did she suddenly become empowered? Because she had vision. Okay, I'm going to get in so much trouble, but can you keep that? No, you're not going to, are you? But that's true naturally. It's more true spiritually. When you have a vision, there's something that gets you up in the morning. They say Smith Wigglesworth would jump out of the bed, and as his feet landed on the floor, he would go, "Hallelujah! This is the day the Lord has made." Amen? When you have a vision, those athletes, there are people out there in the cold and rain. We used to see them when we were in West London, rowing at 4 in the 5 in the morning, in the sleet, in the rain. And what is their vision? That they are going to get a gold medal in the next Olympics. Because they have a vision, they have a purpose. And God wants you, where there is no vision, people lose restraint. Where there is vision, people become focused. Amen? And God wants to give all of us that sense of purpose in our life. Amen? Samson, what was the first thing that happened to Samson when the Philistines finally got him? What did they do? They took out his eyes. They took away his vision. Literally. And then what happened is he was on a treadmill. You know, there's a lot of Christians on treadmills, going round, doing the routine, doing the sort of Christian-y things, but they've got no vision. Hello? And God wants to give you vision so that you get off the treadmill and you become an effective child of God for Him. Amen? God's giving our church vision that this center will be a center for the community more and more. That we will plant churches into this region. That we will go to the mission field. Hallelujah. Even though the mission field could be your next door neighbor, or it could be taking a team. Maybe we'll go to Madagascar. Maybe we'll go, who knows where. You can come with me to the Middle East. You only need a one-way ticket. No, I'm sorry, I don't mean that. Paul said this, I was not what? Disobedient to the heavenly vision. It's interesting, you get companies now, secular companies saying, this is our vision. Which is interesting. I don't know if they run by Christians, but what Paul is saying here, we need to get hold of the heavenly vision. What is in heaven over your life, over Vernon, that desire to one day that we would have 24/7 prayer and worship coming up from this church. Amen? God wants you to have vision for where you work, for where you are in this season. In God, Peter and Enid had a vision of a bus. Was it a dream you had? Amen. Be careful when you go on holiday. That's when sometimes God has time to speak to you. And that transformed the life of hundreds of teenagers in this town. But today, there is more vision that God wants to give for YMCA, whoever, whatever it is, place of worship. It could be many different facets. And we're going to have an overall vision of the church, and we're trying to fine-tune that more and more in the days to come. That this will be a place where the nations come. We have 22 nations in our church at the moment. Hallelujah. I believe 30 or more will come. Amen? Let's believe God. We have a Romanian fellowship that meet this afternoon. I believe we have many different ethnic groupings meeting, having their food. Hallelujah. I'll get to all of them. I can guarantee you that. So, it's not just a strategy. Paul said it was a heavenly vision. It's something that God gives you. And when God gives you a vision, it's not just a nice idea. It becomes consuming. It becomes a reason why you say no to unrighteousness. It becomes a purpose of God. It overrides all the different pulls that the enemy brings. It's even more important than watching Brentford. Hallelujah. Oh, no, you didn't say amen. Okay. Thank you, Nigel. It grips you. And you see, on the way to that fulfillment, let me see, Joseph had a vision that he was going to be a leader. He wasn't very wise with his vision. He said to his brothers and his dad, you're going to bow down to me, basically. Well, let me tell you, for when you God gives you his prophetic purpose and to the fulfillment, there is a gap. And God doesn't always give you all the details of what you're going to go through to become the one that God can really use. And what many happens to many people is they give up because the trials and the tests become too difficult. And what you need to do is not let the enemy steal your vision. And some of you might say to me, Phil, I'm getting a bit old now. I've done a lot of my vision. God's, if you've got breath, God's got a prophetic purpose for you. Amen? He's got much more to do. Hallelujah. He's even us oldies, Nigel, there's still so much. And God began to speak to me. I was on a prayer retreat this week. There is much more I have for you to do. It's not time to slow. It's time to speed up. Hallelujah. In the things of God. And then you have David. Samuel comes, anoints him with oil. There's all kinds of... And then he gets summoned to the king's court. He plays his little harp for the king. And the next minute, he goes from being the king's favorite to number one rebel in the nation of Israel, living in the back end of the wilderness. The Israelites come out of Egypt. Oh, we're going to the promised land. And I'm going to come to it in a minute. The next thing, 3 days they have with no water. There will be trials along the way. Hallelujah. You ask any visionary about their trials, then the enemy sees that vision and he is going to try and fault you from inheriting and going and achieving what God has for you. And you need to keep that vision all the way through those wilderness years. Caleb and Joshua refused to let go of the vision. Some Christians, and I've got friends, sadly, who have backslid, who had greater callings and greater vision than I had. But because of the trials of life, somewhere they let go. The Bible says, you will reap what you sow if you do not lose heart. There have been times when it would be easier to lose heart than to stay in that place of faith. And God, today we had someone praying about stirring up the gifting and calling. And today God wants to stir you up. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants you to not just look at the trial, but to rekindle the heavenly vision. Every vision has a price. David's pastor threw a spear at him twice to try and pin him to the wall. And eventually Saul spent most of the latter part of his life trying to kill David. That's like, what did I do? You know, and the reason was Saul was afraid of David. The tragedy is many people that were once anointed can lose their way like Saul. And instead of blessing the next generation, they start trying to put them down. I want to be someone that honors what God's doing among young people. Amen? I watched a little bit of some of the young people leading worship while I was away. And just before I went away. And they're actually having like 2-hour worship sessions. and they're worshipping and on their knees and they're crying in the presence of God. And then I see all these kind of pins through the nose and tattoos, and I'm like, wow. I couldn't do that in the church I work for. Shall I get a... No. But you know, God's with them. And I want to be someone that blesses what God is blessing. Amen? I actually don't like tattoos. I have no desire to have one, just in case you're getting worried. Amen? That's not my scene. You see, Saul opposed one that God was raising up. But God's going to raise up young people. Hallelujah. And the thing that excites me the most about young people at the moment, particularly it was happening in London, they used to go to all the conferences to hear anointed preaching. Now they're going to places where they worship all night. And they're packing out places and there is no speaker. Hallelujah. God is at work. God is at work. So David went from being the king's favorite to the king's rebel. And one of the things you'll find if you have a call or vision is the enemy will try and isolate you. He will try and use people to put you down. God wants you not to be, Paul says, if I was still afraid of man, I could not be a bondservant of Jesus Christ. There has to be something in you that says, no matter what, you call me, you're accountable to spiritual leadership, but I'm going to obey you. Amen? When I first got saved, I lost all of my friends. Apart from one who then sent me a note, because I refused to work on Sunday. I work every Sunday now. And he said, I recognize God's done something in your life. Hallelujah. But you have to go through painful times. You have to go through seasons of misunderstanding. People misunderstood David. But are you going to give up? Or are you going to persevere? The Israelites in the wilderness, they came through the Red Sea. And they must have been, they were all clapping. Miriam, I think, led them in worship. Oh, we've come out of Egypt. He's taken us. He's freed us. He's, you know, the Red Sea kind of symbolizing baptism. They've come. And now for 3 days, it says, in the wilderness, there they are. And they could have got in the promised land 11 days later. Can you believe that? 11 days. And it took 40 years. They didn't have sat-navs back then. No. And when they came to Moriah, the water was bitter. Now you would have thought God would go, okay, here's my big plan. They're going to come out of Egypt and I'm going to make this beautiful pool and it's going to have lovely water. They can all have a swim and a drink. But God didn't. God knew they were coming there. Hello? And God knows that you, when you go through difficult days, he knew before the foundation of the earth. And he didn't get Gabriel, so Gabriel, just tidy up the water. There's my chosen people coming. He let it stay bitter. But Lord, you love me. Oh, but Lord, you. No, what he was looking for was men and women of faith. Amen? And what they did, this was lesson number one. Hallelujah. Are they going to be able to deal with bitterness, with the water being bitter, with no water for 3 days? Do they really believe in the goodness of their loving God? Amen? When you don't believe in the goodness of God, very often we end up doing what these Israelites do. When things don't work out well, we start complaining, mumbling, grumbling. Hallelujah. You know, one of the greatest, Silas is sitting in for some of my sermons, and it's one of the biggest challenges is he listens to what I say. And at certain points when I'm moaning about something, which only happens very rarely, he goes, "Daddy, that's not what you preached on Sunday." Listen, God allowed them to come to that place because he was looking to them to trust in him at all times. Amen? To exercise faith. And I used to believe, once I'm born again, I'm just going to skip life's happy way in the charismaniac movement. And one day I'll skip and I'll just end up in heaven. There have been many trials. Amen? You all have trials. You don't need to put it on your fridge. How many people, you know, the righteous will be persecuted. Put that in that fridge. I just declare that over my life today. You don't need to. It just happens. Just let me save you the, you know. But you know what happened? Moses took the tree. God told him what to do. He put the tree, which symbolizes the cross, in the water. And the bitter waters became sweet. And they drank. But the tragedy of the Israelites is instead of exercising faith and pulling on the goodness of God and the promises of God, they allowed themselves constantly complaining, moaning and groaning. And I've been in that pity party. Has anyone been to the pity party? A lot of Christians, they love parties. Just the wrong kind. They go to pity parties. Oh, God can't love me. No. And it's just like, yeah, it's tough. It is, isn't it? You've been through a lot. You've been wonderful to your mum. It's painful. But let me tell you, without faith, it is. Come on, you preach it back at me. What is it? It's impossible to please God. You've got to move in faith. Circumstances, Paul said, I've learned to abound and to be abased. Whatever situation you're in, learn to trust in him. The Bible says, trust in him at all times. The wilderness was their training ground, and God was not going to let them face the Malachites and the Hittites and the Havites and the all the otherites until they had learned to move in faith and overcome the trials on the way. And one of the reasons some Christians never enter into what God has for them is that they fall into the pity party, the moaning, the groaning. And God says, God said to them through Caleb, we are well able to possess the land. And I want to say to you, you are well able to possess what God has for you. Amen. The gifting and calling of God is irrevocable. He has called you. And the only person that can thwart that calling is not the devil, it's not other Christians, it's not church pastors, it's you losing heart. And while I was away praying, God rekindled something in my spirit. Shambhala lamba. I feel I'm in Lagos right now. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. I look at the strewn remains of so many that had a greater call. And they fell into grumbling, disappointment, anger at God, anger at everyone else. It's time to say goodbye to the pity party. It's time to have a party with Jesus and celebrate the goodness of God. Amen. You know, people blame lack of provision. Well, my Bible says this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what will happen? All the things come along. I haven't shared this before, but a month and a half before we came to Newbury, we knew we needed a special provision from God, and a check came in the post from someone I hadn't spoken to for 15 years, and it contained all the provision we needed for that season. Hallelujah! God meets your needs when you move in his purpose. When I went to Nigeria for 4 months, I gave everything. My mum put all her life savings in. Wasn't much, but it was, and I went and preached for 4 months. I came back and I had been overdrawn the whole year. I was a professional teacher. I came back and my bank account was in surplus. Hallelujah. He, when he leads you, he provides. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. Amen. Amen. Someone needs to hear that today. Listen, there are tough things that happen. There are things you can get upset about, fall into unforgiveness about. But let me tell you this, Romans 8:28. We know. Do you know? Why didn't you say, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and what? Who are called according to his purpose. He's working it all. Hallelujah. Whoa. I don't know why my dad died when I was 2, why I never had. And he could have been a great spiritual mentor to me. I don't know lots of different answers, but one day I will. But I know this: God is working in our lives. And if you don't get bitter and twisted and angry, he will work it all out for your good. And you will come through that trial stronger, closer to Jesus, more in love with him. He will bring you through it. Some people almost feel like they're going to stay in their trial and live in their trial. No, he doesn't lead you just to the valley of the shadow of death. He brings you through the valley. At the other end is a banqueting table. Amen. It will pass. God spoke to me about something not long ago, and he said, this will pass. Start looking ahead. Amen. How you react to trials defines you. You see, the Israelites, they got backward vision. The multitude were among them, yielded to intense craving. Do you know, every time I fast, and it wasn't you, Nigel, don't worry, someone brings me some lovely food. I remember one time I was fasting and one of my favorite local preachers said, I'd love to take you out for lunch. And I'm like, Lord, he's going to bless me so much. And God said, carry on fasting. And all they could think about was the food in Egypt. Oh, I remember the leeks. I mean, you can visualize it, can't you? And it says, the fish we ate freely. No, you didn't. You were a slave. You were oppressed. The enemy controlled you back then. The cucumbers. The melons. Gosh, you're going to run out and want a lunch in a minute. the leeks, the onions, the garlic. Well, I'm not sure about the garlic, but... And now our whole being is dried up. And there's nothing except manna. When someone is not in a good place with God, they start looking back and exaggerating the past. They start, oh, I used to be in the nightclubs and, oh, it was such a great time. No, it wasn't. You woke up on Sunday morning, you could hardly move because of the hangover. Oh, I remember the drugs. Yeah, and you nearly killed yourself. You silly boy. Listen, leave the past behind, because there's a promised land, and it's a beautiful land, and it's in this life there's an inheritance, and in the age to come. Yum, yum. And whatever your leeks and cucumbers were, it's going to be nothing. It's going to be a heavenly haggis. Ha lama shamba. It's going to be glorious. You won't have to put it in a fridge. Oh, I don't know. Do we eat meat in heaven? I don't know. Anyway, that's for the theologians. Listen, it's time to start believing. I would say unbelief is the least confronted sin in the church in the UK. Oh, we talk about immorality. We talk about the people, you know, you're lying. We talk about all those things, and they are important. But you know, I would say the unbelief in the Israelites was the reason they lost their restraint to sin. God, what does it actually say here? An evil heart of unbelief. In departing from the living God. He's living, and he wants you to live and be full of him. Shamba lamba. It was great singing in tongues this morning. Wasn't it wonderful? It's departing from a living God, going, well, yeah, I used to believe that, but I don't anymore. Repent. Amen? Because if you don't see that promised land anymore, you need to ask God, give me vision again. Be thou my vision. Amen? Because God can restore your family. Hallelujah. God can restore that gift and calling on you that once thrived. He says, like to some of us, he talks like he Paul did to Timothy, fan into flame the gift of God that was in you through the laying on of my hands. Some of us need to get that gift and start using it. Amen? Start sharing the good news. Start serving in the warm space. Come and join us for prayer on Wednesday night, even if it's a bit nippy. Come and lay hold of God that he will do something glorious in our day. Listen, unbelief is not just a bad habit. Oh yeah, oh I can't believe. No, repent. Amen? Repent and go, God, you are the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm going to yield to you, Jesus. And let me tell you what humility is. Humility, we go, humility is, oh, I'm just a worm. Oh, I'm just a nobody. That is unbelief. You are not a nobody. You're a child of God. You've been paid for with the highest price, the blood of Jesus. You have access to the Father. You have eternal life. Get out of that. That I could say a lot, but I've got to calm down. Humility is saying, I may not feel it. At times I don't think it. But because you say it, I'm going to yield to your word. And I'm going to declare what you say. It's like that song, Lord Daigle. You say I am. Oh, Amanda can do that better than me. Get a vision for the land. A large and good land flowing with milk and honey. God wants you to look We had a student back in London, and she had all these words that God had given her. But you know what she did? And she brought it to the class. She drew what it looks like. Hallelujah. What does it look like? Make sure it's from God. Oh, I see myself in the Rolls Royce. Well, is that really from Jesus? Is that really the most important thing on God's heart for this time? No, it's not. I want to see Newbury's a crossroads of revival, where people come from near and far to meet with God. Hallelujah. Ask God. Whenever I get a prophetic word or a scripture comes alive, I ask the Holy Spirit, what does that look like? Amen. What does that bus look like? And He will show you. He gave them that vision. Listen. To the Israelites in exile, because they had backslidden, they had gone into exile, they were wondering, does God really care? Does God really see? And God spoke to them through the prophet Jeremiah. I know the thoughts I think towards Ben. Towards Rutendo, says the Lord. Thoughts of, let's get Ben a new watch. No. I'm teasing. I shouldn't do this. Thoughts of what? Peace and not evil. To give you a future. Just say that. To give me a future and a hope. And this is the verse God spoke to me recently. You will call upon me and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search with all your heart. That's what I was doing this week. It was great. There was no internet and there was no phone signal. Wow. Wow. I couldn't even follow the football. It was great. Hallelujah. And I met with God. And He stirred me up. But listen, these Israelites in exile needed to hear in their hearts. Some of you have given up on God. You've given up on His purpose. He says this. My thoughts toward you of peace. And I have a future and a hope for each one of us. Well, I blew it. I kicked the cat. I did this and that. God is the God of restoration. Amen. It's time to fan into flame the gift and calling of God. As I said the other week, when we go through a trial, most of us are screaming out at God, get me out of this! Almost like, I'm a celebrity, get me out of here! Get me out! Take this trial away! And what God is saying is, I am with you in the trial, and I am going to cause all things to work together for your good. Like it says in James, He will teach you perseverance so that you are fully ready for everything God has for you in the next season. He turns trials into gold. And more than your comfort, sorry about this, some of you like, Phil, shut up. More than your happiness, God is doing something in you because He's getting you ready for something awesome. And when He says now, that trial will go. Job, the day came when it ended, and God gave him double what he had before. Joseph was very unwise, but he had a vision, a dream, that he would lead his family, his brothers, even his father, And it says, God sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was chained. He was laid in irons. Until, hallelujah, thank God there's an until, John. Until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. You see, God was knocking out the arrogance out of Joseph. God was making sure Joseph was really going to do it, not for his aggrandizement, but for the Lord. Amen? When I used to work, we had this big church. Everyone who wanted to be the next Billy Graham would come. I've worked for all these people. I'm so amazing. I'm amazing. I'm this. And we'd go, okay, that's great. Could you clean the loose, please? Oh, no, I'm too anointed for that. Well, they didn't get far. In fact, the senior leader would drop rubbish outside the church, and as the people came for the interview, he would watch, would they walk past the rubbish? If they just left the rubbish, he knew. And when he saw people picking up the rubbish, he'd go, I'm going to have that one on our team. Anyway, I'm bringing it into land. The time will come when God said, you passed the test. Amen? And he will bring you through. And we can bring it into land. When the time did come, and his brothers came around in their desperate state, and he says, I'm your brother Joseph. And he said, he had to comfort them. He said, don't be grieved. But listen to this. How did Joseph get into Egypt? He was betrayed. He was falsely accused. He was a prisoner. But he said this, God sent me before you to preserve life. In other words, didn't even consider all the things that had been done against him. He said, all those things you did against me, God sent me through those things. Amen. Whoever has wronged you, you have to forgive, or else you will not get into that place of destiny. And bring it into land. You've heard the verse. You meant for evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as to this day, to save many people alive. People will wrong you. People will do things against you. But let me tell you, if you yield to Jesus in the trial, he will use it and turn it around. What was meant for evil will come good. Do you believe that? If you believe that, let go. Bless your enemies. Pray for them. So now, when I first got saved, I had these people say, oh, Phil's in his hippie stage. He's gone all weird and spiritual. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. And when Joseph did come into his destiny, he had the humility. It was actually the people that betrayed him were part of the people that God used him to save and feed, as well as a whole nation of Egypt. Amen. God will work all things, just say all things, together for my good and for his good. Amen. Just stand, would you, please? Thank you, Jesus. I just feel the Lord is saying to some, don't get stuck in the wilderness. And I feel some, God is saying, it's closer than you think. It's getting closer. Your breakthrough is getting closer. Your vision fulfillment is getting closer. It's getting closer and closer. And God is saying, do not lose heart. Just say that to yourself. I will not lose heart. And I will reap the inheritance of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you. And Lord, I thank you. You and your vision is not the wilderness. Your vision is the land flowing with milk and honey. Us moving in the destiny of God. This church entering into all that has been prophesied and declared over this house. We declare it shall come to pass. Lord, we declare, I just pray over everyone whose vision may be going dormant. Lord, we fan into flame the gift and call of God in your life. And we say you shall fulfill his call and destiny in Jesus' name. And God's saying right now, it's time to forgive those who did you wrong. It's time to forgive people even back in your childhood. They cannot stop you fulfilling the call of God. But you can stop you by living in unforgiveness. So we let those people go and we bless them. And we ask you, Lord, to bless and reveal yourself to them. And I declare you have a vision of a future and a hope. Lord, I pray where the vision of God has been stolen, that, Lord, you will give fresh. Oh, give us eyes that see and ears that hear. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen.